just a thin little layer of fucking chicken salad with the cheap bread. You can't no fucking high quality. I want it on a fucking people do too much now. Fucking chicken salad on the fucking croissant, bitch. I don't want no fucking. I want the thin little fucking strip of chicken salad with two cheap ass fucking the 99-cent loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. I want that shit fucking smooshed down, cut in a fucking triangle. I want to be able to eat 20 of them hoes.
Hey, my podcast already.
Shit. I'm Javi Luna, husband, father, and oh yeah, stand-up comedian. I've been fortunate enough to spend over a decade traveling the country, making audiences laugh. But my favorite audience is the one right here at home in Corpus Christi, Texas. My wife and co-host, Jen. Once a week, we sit down and have a chat. There's other podcasts like this, but this one's mine. And that makes it original. Welcome out to the Original Gordito Podcast, episode 141. not some 41, 141. How's it going, Miss Luna? How you doing?
It's good, it's good.
Welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Are you sick of me yet?
No, never.
You've had now 2 weekends with my ass home.
Yes. Right, that is true. That never happens.
Yeah, because usually the way it works is we had the boys this weekend. Usually on the weekends that they're not here, I travel a little.
Right.
Like next weekend, I'll be in El Paso.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
This has been 2 weekends here of family weekend part two. I did end up having one gig. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, no, it's been a busy 2 weeks, even though you didn't.
Well, that too. So maybe that's been good because we have been two ships passing the night, as we say, at home most of the time. So
yeah.
So yeah. So a fun filled weekend. We tried to pack it with too much stuff. We tried to do we tried to go to a damn play.
Not a damn play.
A play. We tried to go to a play.
Yes.
It wasn't damned. We were damned.
Yes, we were.
Trying to
get three kids.
To picking up kids from school, getting out of work ourselves, and we thought we were going to go to a play
that started at 6 o'clock on a Friday.
Like what? And we're,
yeah, it didn't
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, yeah, it was a recipe for disaster from the beginning. Adding to the fact that our oldest is trying to get his paperwork and everything set up for his first job.
Woo! I'm so proud of him entering
the working force.
Yeah.
My son's going to be Johnny Paycheck, man. Woo. He's going to be working. He's going to be slinging the Lord's chicken.
Yes, he is.
All right. Sunday's off on his first job.
That's so awesome.
That lucky. I worked everything. I worked Christmas Eve on my first job.
Yeah.
I remember my very first job. What I consider my first job. First of all, let's talk about first jobs for a minute, because I was doing this on when I took him to go pick up his uniform. I had to wait there in the car for a little bit, because I'm not that bad. I'm not gonna go inside to his first job.
Like, no,
this is your thing. Go in there and do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm there sitting in the car trying to kill some time. I jump in on the live and I'm talking to people about their first jobs. Some people are like, "Oh, I worked at Chick-fil-A," or "My first job was here," or whatever. And I realized, like, I don't consider my first job because I only worked there for like a month.
But it's still your first job.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that I worked there for a full month. Now that I go back and think about it, I think in my head I might have rounded up. Like,
wow.
It might have been like 2-3 weeks. No, it was definitely more than 2 weeks because I had started. I had started to close on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like one of the first nights that I had closed. I worked at Marble Slab Creamery.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. I got hired on my 16th birthday.
Really?
Yeah, because my parents let me stay home from school on my 16th birthday to go get my license.
Uh-huh.
Right, because I had already done the I was about to say special ed. I'm still doing that. I still need that shit, man. I had already done the driver's ed. And so I stayed home and then I had filled out the application because I was one of those kids that wanted to start working as soon as I can. Very, very much like our son.
Yeah.
He started applying back when he was still 15,
yeah,
and having his interviews and stuff. And, So I got, so they happened to call me like right on my birthday. So I went in for the interview and whatever and got the job. And I was like, I'm going to slang ice cream. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do the mix-ins.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And I worked there long enough. I learned how to actually make the ice cream in the back because Marble Slab makes it.
Wait, time out. That was my favorite ice cream for the longest time. Yeah. So you're telling me you know how to make it?
Well, here's the thing. All their shit's mixes.
Oh.
Like you just add yeah. It's not. Sorry. It's not like.
It's all right.
Yeah. It's not from scratch back there.
That's all right. It still tastes good.
And so, so the owner, right? He used to do, I remember he used to do this thing where he was like very active in his church.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would like send his like church folk.
The congregation.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Into like secret shop.
What?
Which is not a bad idea. Uh-huh. Right? Like, hey, it's your business. Send some folk in. Hey, let me know how it's going.
Uh-huh.
But because they were kind of, they're a little uppity. like they're very nitpicky. Like if you didn't smile enough or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was not a good environment. And then I remember he called me during the day at school.
Not
at school, but like I had my phone. Mm-hmm. But he called during school hours. Like you hired a fucking high school sophomore.
Yeah.
Right. Called me to bitch me out. That I had left the store a mess. Like I said, I remember I had just started closing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all like, what are you talking about? Like I did everything. I did everything on the checklist. He goes, no. He goes, I found a peanut, or pecan or something.
Uh-huh.
Marble Slab has the mixins, right? That's one of their things. You know, you pick your ice cream and then what kind of mixins you want, and they get the little fucking
egg thing
and they mix it all up so that you get a little bit of the topping in every bite instead of it just being on there. It's mixed mm-hmm. throughout the ice cream, and he found one of those little fucking toppings underneath, where you have your cabinets. There's a little. Space
uh-huh.
underneath a little 2-inch gap under there where you know you gotta apparently it was under there. I basically missed the spot.
Wow. But to him
I had
left a mess.
A complete mess. And
wow.
He's like, so well we're gonna have you come in and take a refresher training or whatever. And I was like,
for one peanut.
To, so I could be taught how to sweep.
Wow.
And, I was like, I'm good. Like we mm-hmm. just we don't no need don't bother don't bother scheduling the training.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So and then yeah, I remember I was like off 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
To it wasn't 4th of July. It was some holiday that I was off. Maybe it was Thanksgiving because I was there. That was the first holiday I got hired, and my birthday's in November.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the holiday after that. It was Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe it was the Friday after Thanksgiving, and I wasn't scheduled, and apparently they got slammed, and like this is before. Cell phone, like not everyone had cell phones. Mm-hmm. Like my cell phone would turn off and I wouldn't freak out about it. Like
yeah.
Now like your phone's always on and if it's dying, like let me fucking find a charger or whatever. But before it was like, oh, your phone died. Oh, that's cool. Like the 10 people have my number. Like yeah. what do I care? Right. And you couldn't get a hold. They were trying to call me in.
To help.
It's like, I was like, bitch, I'm not a first responder.
I'm like, not on call.
Like, I'm not on, I'm not sitting by the phone. Like, hey, Javi, you want to go out? Like, no. They might need me. People might be wanting some ice cream right now. And I gotta be ready to jump in.
I'm going to get called in maybe.
Any minute they can need me. So, So I don't even consider that. And I realize, like, I always tell people my first job was Hollywood Video.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that was my first job. Like, that was the first job, like, where I had a relationship with my coworkers. And, okay. And I felt bad when I quit because my dad was Johnny Paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My dad, his claim to fame, his brag was that he only ever had two jobs his whole life.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He said he worked for HEB all the mm-hmm. way through high school. After high school, he became a produce manager
mm-hmm.
for them. And then he went to the military
mm-hmm.
and he came back and he had like 6 weeks, you know, he got drafted. After you came back, you know, they were supposed to hold your job for you while you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he got released, you have 6 weeks to report back to your employer.
Mm-hmm.
So he took his 6 weeks, you know, he's taking his time. During that time, he went and took the civil service exam. He got hired at the base and never went back to HEB
mm-hmm.
and quit HEB. And he stayed at the base for 35 something years.
That's amazing.
So that was his claim to fame. So when I got my first job and quit within the first like month, I felt
horrible. I bet.
Horrible. Horrible. I was like, this is it. This is how my life just goes downhill. Old Javi can't keep a job. 16 years old, man. All washed up.
Barely freshly just, 16. Just, can't even keep just a job.
Job hopping. Man, you know, but to me at that time, you know, 16 years old, all you're trying to do is just be the man that your father.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, showed you to be or whatever you're, mm-hmm. you know. So now, you know, look, if he could see me now. No, he did get to see, you know. When he was there in the early stages of when I was starting to turn pro, mm-hmm. as they say, and he was cool. He got it.
Good.
He understood the dream. So I always consider Hollywood Video my first.
Well, that makes sense.
Job.
Because you were.
And I leave out Marvel Slab.
Marvel Slab, you were there for a short time.
Yeah, and I stayed there, and that was the reason for the story. And I consider that first because I stayed there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, you know,
that's a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Good length of time for a kid too.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I worked all the way up until graduation,
mm-hmm.
and I went ahead and quit like right before graduation because I was like, I'm trying to enjoy the last little bit of my senior year. Like,
yeah.
I want to goof off a little bit. You know, I had I worked at a video store, so Friday and Saturday nights. Are gone. Sunday yeah. nights are gone. Like I said, worked, you know, Christmas Eve. People rent videos on Christmas Eve.
I was, well, hell yeah. I was what there, else
and
you
I remember
do?
I missed Christmas Eve because of my first job because someone had been stealing video games. This was back when they used to have, they didn't have a separate video store for video games. Mm-hmm. It was just like five shelves in
my
the corner
section.
Of the store. Right. And we had all these locks on there. So they were supposed to be like impossible to steal. Mm-hmm. And yet we kept having empty game cases come up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like getting to the point where it was becoming a problem for the meetings, like keep your eyes peeled. So how are people getting? Because what would happen was someone would bring the case up because mm-hmm. the games were actually out on the shelves. Like everything else, like we had a lot of the tapes behind the counter and all that, the games were actually in there and locked. But someone would come with the case, like, hey, I want to rent this game. We open it up.
And there's no game.
And there's no game in there.
Wow.
Right? It was seriously like a mystery. Christmas Eve, we had 5 games found on the floor, boxes fucking found.
Mm-hmm.
The manager, we call the manager, like, hey, man, we just got took for fucking 5 video games. These suckers mm-hmm. are expensive to yeah. the store, right? They don't pay what you pay on the, you understand, like the video, the people are like, oh, fucking, why are they charging me so much to find a video? Inside, if you ever wanted to know about the rental business.
Inside knowledge.
They don't pay what you pay at Walmart for the video.
Mm-hmm.
They pay a higher price because the studio knows they're making money off of it. So each one of those video cassettes was, they paid like $200 for each of those.
Wow.
For the right to be able to rent it out to you and make money off of this movie.
That's crazy.
Right.
No wonder there was only so many copies of certain things.
Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't going to churn enough profit, they didn't. So same thing with the video games. It's not the 50 or 60 bucks you got it at GameStop for. It's you know, they paid a premium for it. So they're losing, you know, five video games. They're losing like fucking, you know, $1,000.
Wow.
In theft in one night. That's a lot for any business. And so the manager came down to the store on Christmas Eve. He wasn't working, of course. And locks the doors and says, it has to be an employee.
Wait, so when he locked the doors, were like customers still inside?
No.
Closing time.
The store had closed because it was closing early because it was Christmas Eve. I was supposed to still planning on going home with my family, celebrate Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's cool, man. The store's going to close like at 9 or 10 that night. It was closing early. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll still get home in time for, you know, to eat, do presents at midnight. Yet, whoop de whoop de whoop de whoop. No, man. He was convinced that it had to be an employee. There's the only explanation here. Is why these games are coming up missing is and I get it. I was like, I get why you would think that.
Yeah.
I was like, so it became like a whodunit. Like we sat there, like and
we're did gonna, he like grill you?
Sit here. He didn't like take us like in an office or anything like that. But we basically really just sat there and looked at each other like a real whodunit. Like I like we were all looking at each other like, man, I know I didn't take them and. I don't think he took them. Like, I don't think my boy Adrian took it. Like, and they were like, and oh, here, this could be end up being half the fucking episode, but fuck it. Cause it is a funny story to me. Are you intrigued?
Yeah,
at
no,
least
yeah, absolutely.
On this whodunit?
Yes. Okay. I like mysteries.
So, and it seriously felt like that. Like, we were playing a game of Clue. Like, uh-huh. Like we started like doubting each other, like halfway through it. And then the conversation turned to the GameCube and the Xbox.
Okay.
Had just came out.
Okay.
Okay. And Adrian got the GameCube and I got the Xbox. And we had both been talking about this is what we're getting for Christmas. And I think even Adrian had already gotten his. I think he bought his for himself. Now I think about it. He had the GameCube and I was like, oh, I'm waiting for the my parents got me an Xbox for Christmas. I'm like, that's what I'm getting for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
You know? So then like someone was like, well, didn't y'all just get video games? Like what systems were they?
Wow.
Were they for? And I was like,
accusing.
I was like, I'm getting an Xbox. Right? No, they're N64. And I think there was a GameCube game. And so then it turned to Adrian for a minute. And like, look, we're not taking it eventually went nowhere. It's like, you can't keep us here all night.
No.
Like, no one's admitting. So at one point it just became, you know, people are like, hey guys, look, if it's just you, like just we want to go home. It's Christmas Eve. Like just somebody, like almost to the point, like just would somebody just please admit to it? Like, but no, we're talking about possible criminal charges.
No,
at this
absolutely.
Point. If you didn't do it, you're not going to admit it. I think it was maybe like a week later that we finally figured out what it was because we caught the video game bandit.
Okay.
And it was like a 5-6-year-old little boy.
What?
With a knife or like a screwdriver. He had something like, and he, he obviously had to have been working for somebody, right? Like his parent probably had a fucking shady ass dad.
Yeah.
That fucking sent him in there. Cause the kid, like someone went to go stock the video game section and rounded the fucking corner and the kid's sitting on the floor, like in a corner, like real tiny little kid fucking prying. He's got a fucking stack of cases and he's fucking prying them.
Wow. Open. And no one's going to
expect the kid. He's tiny. He's hiding back there. It wasn't a pop-in section. Like, like not a lot of people had these games, you know, N64s and stuff like that. We were kind of in the hood. So I mean video games was not the bread and butter of of our store.
Yeah.
At all. It was always about the DVDs, you know, and then
that is and the movies. Crazy.
Yeah.
Did the parents get in trouble?
I forgot what happened. I think the kid ran out or something. Like, I mean, it was a little kid. I mean, honestly, it was a perfect crime, right? Because it's a 6-year-old
yeah.
kid.
Like, yeah. wow.
They're going to charge a fucking 6-year-old.
I mean, but I feel like you should charge their parents or something. Right. I don't know.
What is the charge? Contributing to the delinquency?
I don't know. I'm not a.
I don't think it. That's just crazy. I don't remember it going anywhere.
I mean, because yeah.
But I do remember that my first job made me miss Christmas Eve, boo. And then I came to the realization that my son's not even going to have to miss Sunday because he's slinging the Lord's chicken. I'm like, you know what? You're spoiled. You're off on Sundays. Back in my day, movie stores opened Hollywood Video was open 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
365 days a year. It was on the door.
I remember.
Fuck Blockbuster. Still fuck Blockbuster over here. We're watching the Blockbuster show right now. And I makes my blood. Look at these. That would never happen. I'm going to write a show about Hollywood Video. How about that? Again, we're not talking about any. No, I did. Hey, look at that. I wrote First Jobs.
Yay.
Okay. There you go. We did the family weekend.
See, you checked off boxes. Yeah.
Like we're checking boxes there off you here. Go. We're getting better, man. We did go to my brother and sister in law's anniversary present.
Yeah, we did
anniversary party, and I was so excited because I was expecting barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Which nothing wrong with people, but not everyone's barbecue is different.
Yes, it
so
is.
So I don't like what people are like, oh, but barbecue, but like everyone barbecue is different. I don't like everyone's barbecue, so it's not as enjoyable to me.
Sure.
I wish I could go back to those days where I enjoyed the taste of lighter fluid. But it's getting better. A lot less people, a lot of people have learned now, like not to fucking do the lighter fluid. But I remember my fucking Theo's. I thought that's what fajitas were supposed to taste like.
Mm-hmm.
I thought fajitas were supposed to taste like Kingford lighter fluid. Like, yeah, this is what it tastes like. What are you talking about? It's good, man. It's part of the flavor. You know? And so I don't always look forward to backyard barbecues. Mm-hmm. I like forward to my barbecue.
Yeah,
or if it's someone that I know cooks really good, I look forward to it. So this was chicken salad sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I talked about these. I went and did a private gig last night afterwards. And I was talking about, like, I used to do a joke on stage mm-hmm. about chicken salad sandwiches.
Yes, you did.
About baby showers. And it got me baby shower gigs as a result. And what I don't think I explained is where that joke came from. Like, you know, when you're young in the game, you know, you kind of do the joke at a surface and you don't go years later, you learn to go deeper. I loved chicken salad sandwiches. Mm-hmm. I grew up on them because my mom used to bake cakes
mm-hmm.
for a lot of weddings, quinceañeras, and baby showers.
Yeah.
Right? She's big into decorating. She'd do all sorts of party flavors. She's a very crafty lady. That's why the sewing machine was on stage at the special, a little behind the scenes for y'all. Someone actually messaged me about this week. Like, hey, the sewing machine, was that your mom's? I was like, it wasn't hers,
yeah.
But it was an homage to her, to both her and my next door neighbor, Miss Chiquan. They both used to sew. They used to make my Halloween costumes every year together. They would team up. They made me a fucking full on Batman outfit suit. Nice. Like we're talking about like in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know what I'm saying, like fucking sewing it by hand, dude. They made me a Kermit the Frog when I was super little. They made me a Care Bear one year. Talking about when I was a baby. So that was a reference to that, and the little smoking chair was a reference to them. So she was a you know, like I said, a super crafty lady. Where was I going right before that?
I don't know.
We're on tangents.
You went like woo.
I went way left field on it.
And for half a second, I was like, what does that have to do with?
How did I get on sewing machine? Oh, we were talking about the baby showers.
Oh, yes.
It's one of those shows, man. Enjoy the ride, people. I hope you're enjoying the ride. I like it. It makes sense to me, man. Follow along if you will.
I for real was like, wow.
I'm sure the people that listen this far, you get it. We're 24 minutes in. You're listening to the whole thing. Like you're on for the whole.
You're on board.
Whole board, man. I spent a lot of times at baby showers growing up.
Yeah.
So you get used to those chicken salads, and that's what these were, man. These were what we had this party was the perfect baby shower, like with the thin thin little layer of fucking chicken salad with the cheap bread. You can't no fucking high quality. I want it on a fucking people do too much now. Fucking chicken salad on the fucking croissant. Bitch, I want the fucking I want the thin little fucking strip of chicken salad with two cheap ass fucking the 99-cent loaf of bread. I want that shit fucking smushed down. Cut in a fucking try. I want to be able to eat 20 of them hoes. Like that's how, you know. And that's what these were. I don't know who you said it was someone's mom. Someone at the party's mom. I don't know. Like, not to speak ill of your friend, but I know you got some hoes in your family because you have made a lot of chicken salad sandwiches. The quality of your chicken salad sandwich, ma'am, comes from experience.
It could have been for weddings.
See, you got some freaks in your family, man. I know you've catered a lot of baby showers. I can tell just from the taste of that chicken salad. But they're not going to listen to the podcast. Whoever it is, I don't even know whose mom it is. Is that why you're not wanting to laugh?
But it was good chicken salad sandwich.
Hey, that's where a lot of my mom's business came from. I got them in my family too. All my primas got knocked up before they graduated high school, man. they were very advanced for their age. They were fucking at a college level.
Wow.
That's another old joke of mine. Bringing back the oldies.
I see.
The hits, the day ones.
My cheeks hurt.
Everybody used to say that. Yeah, dude. Fucking my primas lived up to the stereotype, man. But fuck it. Hey, they're good now, man. They've all gone on to do great for themselves and get degrees and jobs and careers. And fucking they
that's what it's about.
Turn it around, man. Fucking life happens, man. Speaking of life happening, man, yesterday was my comedy birthday.
Yes, it was.
I didn't make like a big deal out of it. I was happy that I got to go do a private party at a garage. It was very intimate. There were some people that I performed a lot for. I was able to take them out some new material finally. I was starting not to enjoy going out there because I felt like I knew they were getting tired, and they would even, some of them, you know, would even admit to me like, yeah, man, like it's the same shit. Like, yeah. Cause I come out here every often. Fucking 2 months. Bro. I write a lot, but like, yeah, now like fucking you, especially if you're going through a funk, you don't always generate material.
Yeah.
That quickly. So, but last night I had a lot of new stuff to take out there to them, and we had a blast.
Nice. You know,
so it was a good way to spend my comedy birthday.
Nice.
But this weekend, man, this weekend's the celebration, man.
Tell me.
I'm going to be in El Paso with the homies, with Chingo Bling, with Juan Perez, Julian Luella lives out there, man. That's going to be a hell of a show. El Paso Comic Strip. We're doing five shows, like $5 foot long. We're doing five of them hoes in Chuco Town at the historic Bart Reed's Comic Strip, man. The first place to headline Fluffy, the first place to headline Felipe Esparza, like The home club of the legendary Freddy Soto. I love this club, man. I wish they would book me more, but I'm just happy for every opportunity that I get to, that I do get to perform there. It's been years for me now. I think the last time I was there, Lindsay had barely been born.
Oh wow!
Remember, we went out there. Mm-hmm. You went with me. You were still on maternity
leave. Yeah, I was on maternity leave.
I think so. Like she was a baby, and you and her went out there with me to El Paso. I had to be in Dallas the next week, so we drove to Dallas, and you and her flew home.
Yep, it was a good trip
with a baby in tow, and we had a great time. But that's Lindsay's already four.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
that's...
it's been 4 years since I've been to the El Paso comic strip. So I'm looking forward to that. Plus, El Paso. Little geography lesson.
Oh, geez.
Right next to New Mexico. So, of course, I'm going to go pick up a few ounces of some Hatch green chilies.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a big supporter of New Mexico agriculture. I don't know if you knew that about me. Why'd you get nervous, Mrs. Leather?
I didn't get nervous.
Well, I was going to say, by the way, also come see me 420 at Hobby Luna Stand Up and Smoke Fest on an unrelated note. Gordito de Mayo on May 5th, San Antonio Upstage Comedy Lounge. Those tickets are available now, man. Go to my linktree/ Hobby Luna Comedy, man. And, all right, this is the part of the show where I turn to Mrs. Luna and say, what do you got for me?
So, your article this week is titled, A Teenager Kicked Off a Plane for Complaining About Sitting Next to an Obese Man for a 12-Hour Journey.
I don't blame you, Junior. I don't want to sit next to myself half the fucking time. Okay, and?
So, an 18-year-old said he was kicked off of a flight for complaining about an obese flyer seated next to him. Taking to Reddit's Am I the Asshole platform, the teenager wrote that the man sitting next to him took up a good chunk of his seat. So he thought of complaining about him to the flight attendant, he writes. And remember, I'm quoting him, so bear with me with how it sounds.
Okay.
He says, I was traveling to my home country on my second connecting flight, which is also by far the longest one, being over 12 hours long. Mm-hmm. I had the delightful sight of an obese man that was taking up a good chunk of my seat.
Okay.
I am not a small guy myself. Okay. I have quite broad shoulders. So a full seat would already been uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I told the flight attendant about this issue, and she told me that the seat was paid for by this obese person and that the flight was full. He then added, I asked the flight attendant, how is it possible that my seat is still rendered as available if it is being used for someone's literal roles, as this wasn't an American airline? Non-American airlines don't get overbooked, apparently. Mm-hmm. He then says how this airline wasn't absolutely terrible just a few years ago. It's just not just this incident. It's been going downhill, you know, significantly.
Okay.
So listening to all of these blunt remarks about the airline, the flight attendant kicked the teenager off the plane. So he says, the comments prompted the flight attendant to call me rude and just made her double down on me getting kicked off the plane. Though she reassured me that I'd be compensated for this trouble, as I told her I wasn't traveling for vacation. The fat man took this opportunity to call me a fatphobic shit.
Fatphobic. This alley. Okay, go ahead.
Some other people around gave me the stink eye. I know they think I'm a bad person for this.
Horrible person.
But on the other hand, I'm having to pay for the lack of discipline of another person as well as this shitty airline's booking system. Yeah. Hell, I'd rather they call me the day before.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Call you the day before?
Yeah.
You know, hey, there might be a fat person sitting next to you. Just FYI.
Oh, is that what he meant?
Yeah, I guess. A heads up.
Yeah, I don't know. So the airline staff sent a letter of complaint that he later got appealed, that they apparently wanted to ban him, you know, for his behavior.
But not for complaining.
No.
They wanted to ban him for the way in which you complained, sir.
Right. Yeah. But he wasn't taking it like that.
Right.
But he appealed it. He got on a plane the next day. He went, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But so his question was, mm-hmm. I'm not really sure, but am I the asshole for my comments that mm-hmm. offended both the fat man and the airline staff?
I guarantee you didn't offend that guy.
No.
You did not offend that fat man. As you say, listen, every fat guy that gets on a fucking plane, we know what the fucking deal is.
Mm-hmm.
We know we take up space. And guess what? We try to do everything we can.
Yeah.
To minimize, we're not there to inconvenience fucking you.
Yeah.
If we're able to get a fucking extra seat, we do. When I fly Southwest, I always have an extra fucking seat.
Mm-hmm.
No one has to sit next to my ass. like because, you know,
yeah.
It's whatever. If it's,
you're being considerate.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if it's another airline, like maybe like American or Delta, their seats are a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
and I can usually sit pretty comfortable in them, mm-hmm. where I don't feel like I'm encroaching too much on somebody else. But even that said, the flight attendants they are pretty vigilant about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they notice somebody that is big and gonna possibly be encroaching, they will try to like move you around with someone else, someone that's maybe next to, maybe if it's on an empty seat, you know,
yeah.
I've been moved to the way back
mm-hmm.
before, you know, or they just, if there's somebody like particularly smaller,
yeah,
you know, they might be like, maybe this is a better, pair. A better match,
yeah,
you know, I've been in a very small plane
mm-hmm.
in the very back
mm-hmm.
next to a two-seat row with another very large gentleman.
Oh, really?
And we both looked at each other like, hey, man, like, thank God it's only a 45-minute flight, right? It's just a fucking little puddle jumper here, man. You know,
wow.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
What can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? Like I said, I bet he could have gotten a resolution there that he
would have been
happy
satisfied
with had he gone about it a different way. So, sir, you asked the question and the original Grito gives you the answer. Are you an asshole? Yes. Were you wrong? No. And here's the thing. Both of those can.
Sure.
Can happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you wrong? No. Were you asshole about it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you were still a dick about it. Like,
such
like,
an
like,
asshole.
Like, particularly when you took to fucking name calling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
there's no need.
Okay. Like, okay, we got the picture. It's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking fat. But also, it's nothing worse than it. Fat's like one of the last like fucking slurs you can still
like come up with.
Use without getting fucking slammed.
So,
there are people out there that just hate the sight of a fucking fat person. We discuss them. They wonder why we should fucking be alive, you know. And we you know, fat people, we walk around with that we're aware of that, very much aware of that. But you know, you're at the end, but there's not much we can do because we also know that guess what, we are undisciplined. Yeah, we mm-hmm. we don't have any willpower. We know that about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean.
Like
I know like that guy, you know, you didn't offend him.
Yeah.
Because offense is a word thrown around very, very easily.
Yes, it can.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everyone's offended by something. Mm-hmm. Like you probably hurt that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. No one likes being big. No one's wants their size to inconvenience in anybody else. So,
like, he's already feeling self-conscious and you just like brought more attention to the situation unnecessarily and then started calling names. Like, mm-hmm. come on. That wasn't.
That's why I used to, you know, again, OGs on here. Remember, I used to do the airline joke. Mm-hmm. You know, where I did about, I used to do a joke about being big and no one wants to sit next to a fat guy and who invited this guy, yeah. You know, kind of situation. I would try to make it from, you know, play games and, you know, I did do a joke about fucking getting on behind a Muslim guy. So at least it softens the blow and, you know, but again, going back to what I was saying earlier, when you're starting out, sometimes you just do the surface of the joke and you don't go delve deeper into why you're doing that joke, why that joke is particularly funny to you, because it is a reality because big people, we talk about it like I remember when I, the first time I flew, like I had to fly for comedy, because I was older, I hadn't flown since I was like in my 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, I had gotten much bigger since then, and I remember I went and Googled like when I got my flight, like what plane I was on, mm-hmm. the dimensions of the
seat
and I fucking like measured myself to like see if I would possibly, like if I was gonna fit, because I was a nervous wreck, and I went and looked up the airline. What's the airline's policy? Like, am I gonna get kicked off of this fucking plane? Like, because I'm fat, you know? Because Fluffy had done a joke about that, and like, so yeah, that's in the back of your head all the time. So yeah. So you know, and this is a shared experience, you know, mm-hmm. for big people. But like going back to like the Fat Lives Matter joke, right? Mm-hmm. Again, surface level.
Right.
But there's a meat behind that joke, because we just live with our hardships, because we know, yes, at the end of the day, it is our fault. Mm-hmm. So while there are some things that are unfair for me in life, no one's fucking crying about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we know, yeah, we do. Yeah. We fucking did it to ourselves. Like, mm-hmm. you know, but it tastes delicious.
You say I like my ice cream.
You know what I'm saying?
I like my ice cream.
Come on over and try it, man. What are you trying to stick around so goddamn long for? Anyway. You see things getting real good around here. All right. Little like I said, Javi only goes a little too heavy for y'all sometimes. Woo! But your kids are gonna dig it. We're going dark with this next special, man. We're going next special. If you didn't catch the in card on it, Casual Thinker, man, I am good. I want that to be a little bit more of a cerebral thing. I want to have fun making these specials. I want them to be a different experience every time. So I feel, because I know if I'm having fun with it, you know, then
people are gonna enjoy fun.
It. Yeah, exactly. Anything else to add?
No, sir. That's
all
it.
All right, man. I had a great time. Great conversation. As always, Mrs. Luna, thank you for joining me on this lovely Sunday night. Guys, a couple things. The dates in El Paso, and I forgot to mention, I actually this week, if you listen to this on Wednesday, just last night, I recorded a podcast with El Dusty, the producer that did the music for the special, Grammy nominated, you know, Cumbia Anthem, dude does his Tropicoso, so fucking sells it out. He has this creative hub called Produce Downtown, and I'm so excited to go check out. I haven't checked out the new studios. They invited me to do his Dusty Crates podcast.
Nice.
I think it's live on YouTube or something like that. Check it out. Just Google Dusty Crates. Hobby Luna, it'll come up. It'll be out by then. Yes. And I'll mention it again next week, but just wanted to plug that real quick. All right. Let's get those first week views up so I can get invited to more podcasts. That's the idea. All right, I'm out of here, guys. One love.